Hi, everybody. Welcome into Spilly on the Rocks. This is episode, I believe, number four on the Mile High Sports Network. And just finished a series as we're heading into the weekend. Congratulations to Rory McIlroy winning the Masters. A lot of cool commercials surrounding Rory. So, as you're getting prepared for your week, Monday, April 14th, that's actually something to look forward to. Rory McIlroy. Interesting weekend for the Rockies. They went to San Diego. I got some stats and some numbers for you. But I want to start off with the Rockies City Connect. It was unveiled on Saturday. City Connect Rockies 2.0. This version is interesting. There's a lot of cool things. I got the jersey. I don't know if you can see it. If you're on my screen share, you can see it. I also have it pulled up. It's pretty cool. Pretty cool. The Rockies did a couple things that are super unique. They're the first team in Major League Baseball to have a pullover jersey, so there's no buttons on it. And I think it's kind of cool. Part of it is, in a way, they were, paying homage to, minor league players and, spring training, because a lot of those spring training jerseys and pullover are pullovers. So, I guess in a way they're suggesting that they're in a transition, but the colors are like the color scheme's not bad. So I was walking around San Diego. I love San Diego City Connect. It's supposed to represent Baja, and so the Padres colors with the City Connect are like Baja colors. So, from their Mexican heritage and from being so close to Mexico and the Baja Peninsula, that's why those colors are what they are. So the Rockies in this new City Connect. And you can get it at Rockies dugout stores and online. I'm not peddling any jerseys, trust me. But the colors are cool. They also went with the material that is used for skiers and snowboarders, so that is kind of neat as well. It's cobalt blue, which is it's kind of like a Carolina blue, but not quite. It's not quite Carolina blue, but it's a nice blue. It's a little bit darker than a powder blue, and then they have. The piping around the neck, which I think is pretty dope. There's a bright pink, there's a orange. A lot of this jersey's supposed to make you think of a Colorado sunset. So there's a nice Colorado Rockies logo with some pinks that you'll get when we get our beautiful sunsets, and then the Rockies baseball is in this orange, which we get a lot of pretty oranges from our aspen maples and obviously from the sun. And then there's the purple. So some purple there as well. The hats are pretty nice. Like you walk around with the City Connect hat and it's a pretty cool looking hat, and I love the color. So I think the hats will do well. I'm not quite sure about the jerseys. The Rockies original jersey, the City Connect with the green, which is supposed to basically reflect the license plate of Colorado, right? Like if you're in Wyoming, you'll get people calling you a greenie because you have your green license plate. The green license plate, and for a couple years there was the green pants. The guys didn't like to wear the green pants, especially during day games. It was just really hot, so green pants was swiped out for the white pants. But now this new City Connect, it's this jersey pullover, and then they have white pants, but then the same piping around the neck is along the side of the pants. Not bad. Not bad. I don't dislike it. The players a little bit of a mixed bag, but I don't know. We'll see it. We'll see it this Friday. Friday against the Washington Nationals at Coors Field. You can watch the Rockies in the City Connects, and hopefully, for the love of God, hopefully the Rockies offense will come alive. So this weekend. Horrible weekend. I'll pull up something that Sarah Langs. If you follow Sarah Langs, she's amazing. She's one of like the best stat people in the sport. She's also suffering from MLS, and so she's confined to a wheelchair. And she's just the most beautiful human you've ever met. ALS. She has Lou Gehrig's disease, not MLS. So ALS, and she's just a wonderful human. She loves baseball. And she loves random stats. And this weekend, the Rockies got shut out all three games. So Friday, just a mismatch. God, Nick Pivetta just shoved. The Rockies struck out 15 times. Then on Saturday, with a kid from basically he's a 32-year-old who made his debut with the Red Sox, but then he went bounced around the minor leagues and then went and played in Korea. His name is Corey Hart, ended up being the best pitcher in Korea a season ago, and the Padres signed him to like this really team-friendly 1-year deal. He shoved on Saturday, another loss for the Rockies. They lost that game 2-0. And then on Sunday, this was nuts. Michael King, who is part of the Juan Soto deal, and I love the pitcher. He's really unique, kind of a crossfire righty, tons of movement on his fastball, really good slider, good changeup. He's tough. They had 200 strikeouts last year. Padres have a chance to have three guys in the rotation with over 200 punchouts. They also haven't lost this season. The Padres have not lost at home, so they are perfect. National League West is nasty. I've told you that. I told you. I say, hey, National League West is the best division in baseball by far, not even close. And so here you have the Rockies transition year. No Brenton Doyle over this weekend. Doyle has a quad strain. They're hoping to get him in to play this week against the Dodgers. If he doesn't, he might have an IL stint. And so the Rockies go into San Diego, anemic offense. All the numbers are brutal across the board, like bottom of baseball in batting average, least amount of runs scored. I'm trying to keep this Spilly on the Rock show going, but the facts are the facts. The stats are the stats. It's the worst offense in baseball. They're not stealing bases, don't get on base. They chase the same problems I told you about. But now Sarah Lange, she tweeted out the Padres did not allow a run this series. There have now been 34 instances, 34 in the history of the game of teams shutting out its opponent for an entire three-game series since 1901. That's 124 years. The last time it happened was in August of 2017. Not good. Not good. This is the first time it's ever happened for the Padres, first time ever for the Rockies. For like the Rockies had never been shut out for three consecutive games. It's been awful. Awful. No idea what to do. I told you no team identity when it comes to offensive profile. I'm not seeing anybody's on the hot seat, but man, like this start is the worst case scenario. Worst case scenario. Worst. Bud Black can't hit, right? If you want to point the finger at hitting coaches, front office, all that stuff, yes, you can. You can. There's plenty of finger pointing to go around, but ultimately, the players have to perform. The players have to play. So as much as I love, pointing fingers and going like, hey, this guy needs to get rid of this guy and do this and this and this. If you're in the big leagues, you have to compete. You have to perform. Otherwise, you're not a big leaguer. Like there's such pride to throw on a major league uniform that you have to find ways to make it work. You have to compete. And I'm not saying that they're not competing. I know they're trying, but God, this is the worst I've seen them. It really has been frustrating for somebody that, in a way I bleed purple. I don't wear wins and losses. Honestly, I don't care. But I do want them to be competitive, and this weekend was flat out embarrassing. It has been embarrassing. This start is embarrassing for the team, and for the organization. So I like to also show, where the Rockies rank as far as, overall stats. This is updated just right now. They're averaging 2.86 runs per game. You're not even getting to three. Most strikeouts, strikeout percentage is awful. 152 punchouts. That's the most in baseball now by far. Low batting average. The batting average is always buoyed by Coors Field. Road batting average. All these numbers. Not good. Not good. And so the Rockies are at this. There's no way out. Like it is what it is. I talked to Bud Black today after the game on Sunday, and he said, "This is the team. This is the roster." And part of me says, "Yeah, I hear you." Another part of me is like, "If I'm on that roster, I mean, I'm doing some soul searching, whether it's at a local bar or going to bed. I don't even know." But they have to figure it out. And I know we saw another guy get called up this weekend, Tyler Freeman, end up pulling his oblique during batting practice. It was hitting in the cage, and Adael Amador. So Amador, who is the Rockies' number 7 ranked prospect in their MLB pipeline, he got called up on Sunday. And of course, nobody did anything. Michael King was almost perfect throughout the game. So where's the silver lining? Well, I'm going to show you. Silver lining is the Rockies might have a dude, like not just a dude on the team, but like a dude that's going to be around Major League Baseball for some time. Chase Dolander made his second Major League start, did it on Saturday against the Padres. This is the toughest lineup in baseball to strike out, and he punched some tickets. He now has 13 punchouts through his first two starts, which is the second most in franchise history. And the cool thing about Dolander is fastball velocity is real. He's near the top in fastball velocity. If you go to Baseball Savant, he's in the 94th percentile. Velocity isn't everything. You really have to have command, but he's starting to have command. So, averaging about 98 miles an hour on the fastball, there's true swing and miss there. He also has a little cut fastball that I don't love it, but I understand it. The curveball is a true weapon. He's got this wipeout curveball and a really plus changeup. So he has three pitches, three legit pitches that I like. The four seamer, he's got caught in the loop. He's given up some homers. He's given up four homers on the year, but it's also because it was early in counts, predictable counts, and guys are trying to get the bat head out. That number is going to go down, especially as he learns to throw at the top rail. So if you're on my screen share, you can see me. I'm kind of showing you the spray chart for Chase. And his red spot is up and into righties. Great spot. I'd like to see him more above the top of this, right at this top. I think he would be really, really successful. I don't love seeing these markers away. I think he can live because the fastball is so good at the top. So I think if his spray ends up being a little bit more centralized, middle and above, right? Like he can pitch in the middle of the strike zone and get away with it because the fastball is so good. And then the curveball will play off of it. So he can really, if he once he starts to get better and better, this should turn red, and then this curveball should get even better. And then when you pair it with the front to back, with the fastball changeup, big time strikeout numbers. I'm telling you, he reminds me, and trust me, like when I give you a comparable, when I give you a comp of a player, I'm not, this is not hyperbole. I'm not drinking purple Kool-Aid. I am not putting on my purple tinted Rockies glasses. I'm not going to do that. My comp for him is Gerrit Cole. He has Gerrit Cole's stuff. Will that make him one of the top pitchers in baseball? You'll always be hamstrung by Coors Field. Always, always, always. But the stuff is real. It is real. He can pitch to an elite level. And we have not had that elite level pitcher since Herman did it back in, was it 2018, 2019, where he was an all-star, was one of the better pitchers, ate up innings, ton of punch-outs. We haven't had that frontline stuff and starter since Herman. And obviously, like this version of Herman is a different version. He's still coming back from injury. And there's been good signs of Herman like starting to pitch well again. But Chase is legit. Like I'm telling you, legit. And his arm is really fast. The mechanics are smooth, they're clean. And I think he's going to get better. I think he's going to get better. So that's the only silver lining from this weekend. There is nothing else other than the City Connect. And for some people, City Connect, they're like, you look like the Phoenix Nuggets. It's like a mixture of old Nuggies and maybe some Phoenix Suns, whatever. So I like him. I think the colors are cool. If you're a player, maybe you can bust out some cool colors, pop a little bit, but also being honest, like I don't think any Rockies player right now should wear anything other than black cleats and black gloves. Like you don't get to have any flair right now, because it's just not working at all. So there you go, Spilly on the rocks. Episode four, check out the boys on Mile High Sports. They're fantastic. I love doing this. I love talking Rockies baseball for a little bit, trying to get you through this just incredible stretch that has not been good. Not been good. So hopefully you keep listening. Hopefully I keep doing this over the course of the year because, I mean, there's a chance. There's a chance you might see some changes. I doubt it, though. You know, I'm not calling for anybody's job. I'll never do that. Never, ever, ever. But, you know, you're getting close to the point where people wear this. I mean, it's a result-oriented business, but whether it's player personnel, whether it's front office, whether it's, I don't know, coaching staff, you're at a point now where, you know, the team has not performed to a level that I think they're hoping for. It's been embarrassing. And you might see some changes. You might see a change here or there in the next couple of weeks, especially if they're maintaining this, because they're about to take on the Dodgers. They're about to go and play the Dodgers at Dodger Stadium. So, like, very realistic chance that they can go 0-6 on this road trip, which would mean their record when they come back to Coors Field is 3-15. 3-15. By far the worst start in franchise history. By far. But there is one good silver lining, and that's been Chase Dillon. So, all right, follow me at SpillyGoat19, and I can't wait to do the next one.